Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
So I never really know for sure whether that's going to come on or not. It's very much a surprise for me today, because I did put up the show myself after last week's show, right after last week's show, because I knew I wasn't going to have an access to a computer if I left it for the last minute. Put up the show means I have to go on the computer and tell Blog Talk Radio that I'm going to do the show, and we have to do that every week. I don't know how to tell the computer that I want it to play that intro. I used to know back when they had the old Blog Talk, but I got the new Blog Talk, and I don't know how to do it. But it just did it, so I don't know whether it's just got stuck from last week or what the deal is. It's another mystery of the universe, how the energies have aligned and then the intro played. Maybe Chief Iggy just went in and changed it for me, knowing how hopeless I am with these sorts of things. But anyway, this happened. We are here. My name is Motto Sasquatch. This is my radio program, Motto at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. About 10 minutes ago, my opening bit just fell right to the floor. Maybe I'll return to it before the end of the show, but it's just not strong enough now for me to lead off with it. So let me go to an old tried and true, what would you call it? I would call it shtick, because it's not shtick, it's serious. I'm saying this, I'm vamping as I'm digging the book out from underneath the pile. Why is it the thing you want first is always at the bottom? Actually, before I do that, let me talk about, I'm in my new apartment. I guess you could still call it new. I haven't paid my first month's rent on it yet. I'm sorry. excuse me. I set up a shrine table. It didn't seem right to do my first Motto show from here without a shrine table. So at my shrine table right now is a milk crate, one of those plastic milk crates that were all the rage for a while. And I brought a few, obviously all the items from my shrine table won't fit, my old shrine table won't fit on it. So I brought a few of the special ones. Walk in Dry Places is on it, so I have that. My shaman cards are on it, as well as the pipe that my daughter bought me for Christmas, and some other beads and baubles. What I haven't brought and want to bring is Taki Buddha. Taki Buddha's not here, but he will be here on my next trip. And I think that will pretty much flesh out. I may bring Theodotus, too. I think I will bring Theodotus, but I don't know if he's going to live on the shrine table. I may have him someplace else. Theodotus is my flute. Theodotus, the wounded flute, for those of you who listen to the show regularly. And I haven't played him on the show regularly, or I haven't played him on the show lately. I may have to remedy that. Don't want to disturb the neighbors, although I don't know how big of an issue that is, as I will come to talk to here in a bit, thing I was going to open the show with. I'll just say it. Jeez. I've had an issue with people, and I don't think they're neighbors. I don't think they're actually people who live in the building. They're just people who like to hang out in front of the building. And they hang out there like every night. I mean, literally every night. There's a group of about a dozen people out in front of the building, out in front of my apartment. And what they like to do is drink beer and scream at each other. And this goes on from about sundown to typically to about 2 or 3 in the morning. And I just want to stick my head out the window and say, how do you manage that? I mean, how do you scream at each other? How does anybody scream for 6 or 7 hours without losing their voice or without passing out? But they seem to do it and they seem to enjoy it. But I don't want to stick my head out the window, because they know which car is mine. I don't want one of their 40s or all of their 40s to go through my windshield. So I think it's just something, maybe it's one of those fads, maybe it's just something the kids do, although they're not all kids. Something I'm just going to have to, but usually I was going to have them, I was going to go out and do my show from, you know, sitting in front of my shrine table, so you could hear what was going on, because my shrine table is right out front, and so you could hear what was going on outside, but about 10 minutes before the show went on the air, they all left. Now, maybe they'll come back before 12:30, and I'll be able to give you a sample of that. But that was what I was going to lead off with, those people out front, and they're screaming and saying, oh, he's screaming, da, da, da. I guess it's not that bad. And they have a big, they always clean up after themselves. I mean, I think I found one half-full, half-empty can of beer on the steps in front of my apartment one time. I was afraid the first day, night, I was afraid I was going to walk out there and there was going to be broken glass and whatnot, all kinds of things for me to navigate, but there wasn't anything like that. No puke, no anything like that, at least not that I noticed. Seemed to be conscientious, at least in that sense. So I guess there are worse things that could be happening. Would have been a nice opening bit for the show, though. Oh, well, can't have everything. Let's do Walking Dry Places. Walking Dry Places for April 17th is We Can't Go Home Again, Living Here and Now. Despite all evidence that we must live for today, some of us persist in trying to recapture the past. We may be holding a few good memories that we would like to bring alive today. More likely, we may also be refighting old battles in hope that this time we'll come out winners. But since change is taking place everywhere at every moment, we can never return to any previous place or time. Time does march on, and we are part of the parade. Whether we were winners or losers in the past, we can live only in the here and now. The good news is that we can retain any lessons from the past and put them to use today. If we have scalding memories of twisted relationships, and I do, we can remind ourselves that growth and understanding now place us out of harm's way. If we remember the things that did turn out right, even in the confused past, we can reflect that even greater good is possible today. Our home is never in the past. It is to the time and place, is in the time and place where we are today. If we make the best of it, all of our future homes in place and time, all of our future homes in place and time will improve, for in God's house are many mansions. Accepting the value of all of its lessons, I will close the door firmly on the past, knowing that I must devote all of my interest and energies to the present moment. Don't know if I like that one. Not that I don't like the way it was written or anything. I mean, letting go of the past. Yeah, something obviously been challenging for me. Because when I prepare for the show, quote-unquote prepare means thinking when I'm thinking of what old story I might tell, and then I usually end up not telling you. Before today's show, I was thinking about the trial last year where I was a juror and all the things that sort of surrounded that and wondering how I might fold that into other things I'm talking about, because I live fairly close to that location now. In fact, I live right next door to the hospital where the dude, to refresh you if you hadn't heard, this is back in August or September of last year, shortly after I lost my apartment. I was called to jury duty. And, I mean, I could have gotten out of it very easily by saying, look, I don't live in the county anymore. I just lost my home. I'm a homeless person. But I wanted to do the jury duty. I'd never done it. I'd never been called. I'd never been a part of the process at all. And they continually assured us that you'd probably be there for a day, maybe two. So, you know, what's that? So I could do that, and then I can go home. Well, home meaning to my parents' house, which is in a different county. But we ended up with a wrongful death, medical malpractice trial. And it involved three different doctors, which means there were three different lawyers, plus the hospital's lawyer, plus the plaintiff's lawyer. That meant it was going to be a long trial. It ended up taking 12 days. And all that time I was staying with my daughter and her husband. And there was all kinds of trouble, I think. I don't think all of it was related to me, but enough of it that it made me feel bad to be there. But there was no other choice. I had to do it. Unless I tried to ask out in the middle of the trial, and I didn't think that would be received very well. But the hospital where this dude died, is right, it's like a block away from me. And I'm like, gosh, I could walk over there. This is where it all happened. Emergency room, the neuroscience, or neurosurgery room and all that, if I could find it, because it's pretty sprawling and complex. In fact, I thought about, so I wonder if I could get, since I'm so convenient to that hospital, I wonder if I could get my prescriptions sent there. You'd think they'd have a dispensary at a hospital, wouldn't you? I just don't know if people who, you know, if it's only for people who are in the hospital there, or if I could have, you know, my doctor send it to me because I happen to live right next door to that hospital. But anyway, it's, they never let us go. When I was on the jury, I kind of had that thing that they could read about in the books, and you see on the television that they take the jury to the scene of the crime, and you get to look around. I hope they load us up on a van and take us to the hospital and not come around broadly. I don't know if it's morbid curiosity or just, I would like, I've never seen what an MRI machine looks like. I'd kind of like to see one. You know, it's been this whole thing hinged on, you know, MRIs and when they were taken and how they were interpreted, and it might have been instructed to see and be able to talk to people who to do those MRIs. But then maybe that was considered to be outside the scope. You know, so there's a lot of, as in many professions, with a juror, there are a lot of things that the higher ups just don't want you to know. So you don't get to hear for whatever reason. And yes, it was a trying experience, but a bunch, you know, in a lot of ways. But I'm glad I did it. I was happy to serve. Glad I did it. It was very, very informative and instructive. And those memories, you know, those memories are still very strong with me. Now, as I've, you know, I've spent a lot of time reminiscing about that and a lot of time talking to you about it, does that mean I'm unnecessarily dwelling on the past? I mean, the reading seems to imply that you don't live in the past at all. Don't live in the past. And maybe are they saying that? Or are they only talking about addiction-related experiences? But some hardcore people would say that all of your experiences are addiction-related experiences. Or, you know, there's some amount of it that you do just for nostalgia's sake, if you're able to let go if the memories aren't filling some other void in my experience, that it would be better for me to fill with something that's more immediate. And did that make sense? I think that made sense. There's something I ought to be doing now that would have been better for me to do tonight rather than sit and think about that trial again, all the time I spent thinking about it. The process, I'm very fascinated with technical processes. My original training, my bachelor's degree is in engineering. And I like not so much mechanical things, but processes. I like to see processes taken apart and put together and how they be rearranged and how can they do what they do better. So not having a lot of experience with the process, with the legal process, and then sitting down and seeing it operating, you know, having seen it on television, obviously it's a lot different than what you see on television. I got to ask a question. That was fun. And that way, it wasn't nearly as sexy as it seems. I said there were three doctors, and halfway through trial, one of them got dismissed. He wasn't part of the trial anymore. They guess they must have decided they didn't have enough on him or whatever. But I had a question, and I asked. They wouldn't let me. I couldn't stand up and ask the judge directly. They wouldn't let me do that. I had to submit the question to the bailiff. And my question was, you know, do we have to throw out all of the doctors? Because the doctor had just testified. So do we throw out all of his testimony and don't consider it because, you know, he was just released? And so the judge acknowledged the question. When we came back from break one time, he acknowledged the question had been asked. He said it was a good question. That charged me up. And then he said, you can now consider his testimony as you would consider the testimony of any other witness. So I guess basically the answer was yes. We did still listen to what he had said. And, you know, I thought it was a legitimate question. I wasn't just asking to ask. I wanted to know. I thought it was important because he had said some things that might have swayed me a little bit one way or the other. Unfortunately, I didn't have an opportunity to actually bring any of that to bear because I was an alternate. But I got to sit through the whole trial, but I didn't get to do the deliberations. And the deliberations went on for 3 days. So I had to be there in case something happened, in case one of the other juries was struck by lightning I would have to go in and get caught up. They would actually, what happens is if somebody has to leave for whatever reason, they bring in an alternate juror, they start all over again. And I just imagine being that guy coming in, having them all look at me, saying, hey, you're the dude. Even though I'm not the dude. You know, I'm just the dude coming in replacing the dude or dudette that had to leave. But that didn't happen. I just ended up sitting in the sort of the jury waiting room. It's a big, huge room. You know, it's for the whole city, city, municipal, whatever you call it. But it's all the trials that were going on in the city that day. So there's over, I would guess, over 100 jurors who were coming in and out of that room one time or another. And so, you know, I thought, well, I could put in a resume here. You know, I could be one of these people who handles the jurors. But I'm sure, just like any other organization, they don't spend any more money on that than they absolutely have to. So, never did. But I do. It may be something I want to do, though, because, you know, it's getting to be that time. You know, I'm about halfway through this temporary job of grading the tests. So, about time. I haven't actually put in a real resume for a full-time job since August. So it's been a while, and probably time to crank up the resume machine again, for better or for worse. And having asked that, no, actually I can't do that because I promised something else. Doggone it. Well, I could always draw too, didn't I? It's time for me to draw a card from the shaman deck, the shaman tarot. And I had promised someone else that I would draw for them today. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Let's do that. What I was going to do was draw a card for my resumes, but that'll wait because God knows when I'll get to start sending resumes out again. But here is the Shaman Tarot, and I got to remind myself of what I'm doing because I haven't looked at them for a few days. And my difficulty is there's no pictures in this book. Pictures would be so much more helpful. But your four suits in the Shaman Tarot are drums, bows, bones, and stones. Then you have the major apocrypha, I think that's how you say it, or whatever. So I'm going to cut the deck in the middle, and I'm going to take the top card from the left-hand side and see what I have come up with. Oh, dear. So, well, it's bones, and it's one of the what they call the face cards, the knave, the queen, and the king. The knave, the knight, the queen, and the king. And I don't know which one is which because there aren't pictures, and it's not obvious. It's a fray. I see there's a cow's head at the top of the card that tells me it's a bones. At the bottom, it's a feather, and I don't know what that feather is telling me. The image is of a rather muscular gentleman with a staff. There's a snake wrapped around the staff and a skull on the top. And he's in this like battle garb of some kind. He's wearing a loincloth and he's wrapped in snakes. And he has, again, some sort of cow or bull's head on his head. And he's standing, and there are skulls at his feet and other bones. And he's standing in front of what look like oil rigs. And there's some smoke and fire coming up from behind him. Again, it's a neat thing about this sort of comic book kind of artistry and also blending of times and ages. I'm going to guess that this gentleman might be a knight because he is dressed. I guess he could be a king, but he looks more active as a warrior, that this would make him a knight. So what's worth calling? Let's say I'm looking at the Knight of Bones, and I'm going to see in my card here. Now, see, if I was a real tarot person, I would have all these memorized. Here's the bows. And I know people who do this, and they have all this stuff memorized. Oh, the spirits, what's that? Same thing. Okay, what is this thing? What has happened now? Hold on. I'm limited by the fact that I have one hand because I'm holding my phone with one hand, talking to you as I try and make this happen. This is the Shaman Tarot. Got that part right. I said I'm in bones. Okay, so here's the major arcana. That's the word I was looking for before. And Dreams of the Dance. Contemplation of Tasty. I don't know how to recognize any of those at all. But it did look like Bones to me, so we're going to keep going. There's Bose. Bones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Night of Bones. Ally of the Clouds. And the King. The King is Spirit of Father Crocodile. Knave is Shaman of Fire. I bet he must be the Knave. Because this picture that I was looking at has some fire in it. And none of the other ones talk about fire. One talks about clouds. The Queen is Spirit of Mother Snake. That's probably interesting. And then Spirit of Father Croc. Okay, let's go with Knave, Shaman of Fire. So the Knave of Bones. And it says that the Knave, that the Bones cards in general are about combat. And the Knave of Bones is a Shaman of Fire, the fire of ambition, abundance of resources, ample capacity for recovery, and transformism. So this means that the person who has requested this, and who I hope is listening to the show tonight, looks like has a change coming. Not giving me a lot of clues of the nature of but does mention abundance, and I know that's been a concern for some time, and ample capacity for recovery. So maybe that means that worry about that making moves at a certain time might I don't want to say misplaced. That's not the word I want. Maybe that isn't what you should be worried about right now. That you have the capacity to adjust and come back if a choice you make turns out not to be quite the right one. So I guess the card is telling us about, it says abundance, so that we're not so worried maybe about things that are needed, that need to be coming, that need to be acquired, and then that's also not quite so worried about choices that need to be made. How that sound? That's my first. That's probably the most detailed reading I've ever attempted to make off of a tarot card. And I know my friends. I've mentioned this before. Most of my friends who are here on with InsightsRadio.com, whom are kind enough to share this internet radio space with me. Most of them do readings fairly commonly, and a lot of them do them from the cards. Is not something that I really felt comfortable with, but Chief Iggy did present me with these shaman tarot cards as a gift, and I do like them. I like the energy that comes off of them. I have them on my shrine table, except when I'm using them here or trying to study them, figure them out. I don't know. Readings. I kind of feel like it's a lot of responsibility to do readings. Because I listen to Chief Iggy do them, and I listen to the other people on the various shows do them. And they speak well with a lot of confidence, and the people listen to them. And I don't know. I don't know how closely I want to be listened to. I don't know how... that's supposed to be the mission of this show, the mission that I'm pursuing is to put words out there and first of all, the words come from spirit, not from me. And I speak them, and then they go out into the universe via the internet and find someone who needs to hear them. So perhaps what I take from this reading that I've done for someone else, and of course that does happen, is maybe I need to not worry so much about the directions I take with readings. I mean, obviously, I want to be responsible. I don't want to tell people something to go off and do something. I don't want to tell anyone to say, okay, go. The card says you go and put all your money into lottery tickets. I'm not going to do that. The reading doesn't tell us to do things that specific. They talk in. Address very general type of topics. But within those limitations, perhaps I need to be, if I'm going to claim to be a shaman, perhaps I need to be more giving, more confidently giving about the energy that I, about the energy that I channel, because it doesn't belong to me. Sometimes I forget that. The show doesn't belong to me. The channeling doesn't belong to me. The book that's sitting in the doldrums right now, that's my, that I've taken responsibility to write, that doesn't really belong to me. So in many ways, I flout the responsibilities that I have accepted. And this is my weakness. It's part of my weakness. Is through, by having been granted intellect, I'm also granted the responsibility to use it and share it. And often I want to keep my intellect and the benefits of my intellect and the and the negatives of it too, this is probably why, the fact that one gets you get made fun of at school when you're an egghead, when you're smart. And so after a while, you just learn not to speak up. And I'll speak for myself. It's a long time fading away. It hasn't faded away. In fact, when I do speak up, I usually do it at inappropriate times. I don't have my filters properly adjusted to know, okay, this is the time I should speak, and this is the time I should shut up. Usually I have it backwards. I talk when I shouldn't, and I keep my mouth shut when maybe I should say something, like perhaps to the people who are partying out in front of my apartment from time to time. They haven't come back yet. Maybe they called it an early night or had someplace else to go. I don't know. But anyway, the knave of bones, if I have interpreted this correctly, and his symbol then would be a feather at the bottom of it. The bone symbol is at the top of the card, and the feather at the bottom. And if I correctly guess, I suppose I could dig through the deck and find the other face cards and see if I can. That'd probably be a reasonable way to approach this. Now my engineering training kicks back in. I could go through the deck and find the other bones face cards and see if I can match them up to the descriptions that are given in the guidebook. Then do this, sort of go through this with all the various suits, and then those extra cards, the Arcata, Arcata, whatever it was, and then there was another one that I skipped over there because I didn't quite know what they were talking about. Just to sort of process of elimination, find out, figure out what each ones are. Well, I've just gotten my 90-second warning. So we filled up this time very efficiently today. I'm proud of me, and I'm proud of you for the energy you sent me that's helped me to get through this show in a very timely and efficient manner and packed quite a bit of stuff into it. So thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more energy and spirit talk for you. Also, please tune in to Blog Talk Radio for other shows throughout the week, and also visit the Blog Talk, excuse me, withinsightsradio.com on Blog Talk. You want to look for With Insights Radio on the internet, and remember that this is a listener-supported radio, so there'll be a button for you to click if you'd like to make a generous contribution. That would be super neato. Again, I'm out of time, so please come back next week. Thank you for coming here this week, and have a pleasant good evening.